what we read. Do you understand? Some parts are very easy to understand, yes. But there are some parts which are difficult, and we say, you know something, I don't understand this, let's skip it. Like when we come to the names or genealogies, we don't read them, we skip them, because we don't understand. Question is, when we receive a letter at home, how do we read the letter? Especially if it's a bank statement, I wonder. We read it properly, thoroughly, and understand it. Oh yes, this is not right, that's not right, or a letter, or anything. We read it very clearly, because we want to understand. In chapter 8 of Acts, we read of a person, an Ethiopian eunuch. Now this person is a very, very important person. He was the chamberlain of the Queen of Ethiopia. A very powerful man, very, very powerful. And he was reading a book. For him, that's all it was, a book. But the book he was reading was about a person who the prophet Isaiah is talking about. He doesn't know this, but he's reading it like a book. You see, a book is very powerful. Any book is very powerful. If it's a good book, it gives you good knowledge. If it's a bad book, it gives you bad knowledge. The author and the person who has printed it, the person who has written it, they infiltrate your mind with what they want to. So that's why it's very important to read good, healthy Christian books. But the only one book that we should concentrate on and stay within is the Bible. Now this person, he's a very powerful man. He's got his own chariot, and he's gone to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. He may have thought, you know something? Well, let's go. I can afford to. The queen has sent me. Let me go. And he doesn't just travel alone. He's got a retinue with him. He's got lots of people with him. His soldiers and guards and so forth. Because he's a very powerful man. And when he's traveling back from Jerusalem, at that time he's reading the book and it's very hot. And he is thinking, probably, I wonder what this is about. What that person didn't realize is that in his hands he had God's word, and that was a very powerful portion of scripture that he was reading. But he didn't know, because he didn't understand what he was reading. He was reading the words, but he wasn't reading the words, if that makes sense. At that time, exactly at the time, the portion of scripture he would be reading was about the Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering servant, the lamb who was led to the slaughter. At that time, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go to a certain place. Go to that road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. It's a desert. He arose and he went there, and he catches up with the chariot. Now, if you speak to a very powerful person, first of all, we get embarrassed or we get shy. Shall I speak with him? He's a very powerful man. He's a king or this and that. But you know, the remarkable thing is God's word, God the Holy Spirit, it gives us courage to speak out. Without any introduction, he says to the guy, he says, do you understand what you're reading? Straight out. Hello, how are you? Where are you going? Who are you? No. He says, do you understand what you're reading? The power of the Holy Spirit compelled him to ask the question, do you know what you're reading? And that hit him on the spot. He said, no. What did he say? How can I accept some man should guide me. He said, how can I understand? I don't understand because nobody's told me. That was a perfect introduction for Philip. He said, come up on my chariot. Come on. Come up on my chariot. A lowly preacher, one of the disciples, the eunuch elevated him to a position, said, come, sit with me and teach me what I do not know. Now, this did not happen on its own. This did not happen without any reason. This happened because the will of God prevailed, and God wanted this to happen. See, sometimes we don't see the full picture, but God was doing something behind the scene. Now, this person, the Ethiopian eunuch, and he was a eunuch, by the way. Now, eunuchs, even though he was in a high position, but eunuchs are often referred to as not worthy for anything, even though he was a high official. But his inquiry was, Philip's inquiry was, do you understand what you're reading? If I ask you today, now, for example, what you're reading in the Bible at this moment, do you understand? If you don't understand, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because the more you read the same portion of Scripture, the same chapter, the same verse, the more you read over and over and over and over and over again, slowly, slowly it will start sinking in. Because God the Holy Spirit will teach us what it means, what a particular portion of Scripture means. But Philip, he put the very sharp question to the gentleman, do you understand what you're reading? Understandeth thou what thou readeth? Because if you don't understand what you're reading, what's the point of reading it? He had it with him at that time, the scripture reading, he had a little candle. Meaning, he had the truth, he had the word of God, but he didn't understand it until somebody told him what it means. In the same manner, when the pastor stands here on a Sunday or a Wednesday night or any day of the week when he shares, he is introducing us to the word of God, which we do not understand, or he expounds on the word of God to make us understand what the scripture means. When he tackled the portion of scripture which he was reading, this was a evangelical opening for him. Evangelical opening in the sense that he probably read that and they were just mere words, but those mere words had not come to life. Because it is God, the Holy Spirit, who gives life to words, to the scripture. I remember the time when I used to read the Bible back in the days before I became a Christian. And it sounded like a very nice story to me. It's a good story. But all it was a story because there was no life to it. The day I became a Christian was the day when the Lord opened my eyes and I realized what I was reading. They were not just words written by men on a piece of paper, just like you get novels or you get books nowadays, or you get things that, you know, like just entertainment. That was not the case. Well, what we have in our hands is the living word of God, the living word which speaks to us. The portion of scripture that he was reading, in one passage, which begins with Isaiah 53, and then he goes on to other chapters as well, other verses as well, that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, our Lord Jesus Christ. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For his generation, for his life is removed from the earth. So as Philip is explaining to the eunuch these verses, as explaining to him about the Lord Jesus Christ, who was prophesied in Isaiah, that he will come and he will take our sins away. He is the lamb to the slaughter that was led, who did not open his mouth. He did not revile. He did not say anything. He was silent. Now you probably think, which part of this, or which part of these words didn't the eunuch understand? Which bits didn't he understand? Very simple. But sometimes, or even for example, if you look at, if you say in Isaiah, Philip must have explained to him about the suffering, about the suffering servant. And then the eunuch, he would have been more happy. He looks, you know, these words are coming to life now. I can understand what they mean now. And then when Philip would have took him to the 55th chapter of Isaiah, he would have been happy by knowing that what God says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come ye to the water. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." You would have heard these words. The eunuch would have heard these words. And these words now are not words in a book, but they're springing to life. He's thinking, that's saying it to me. These words that I'm reading here, they're saying it to me. The Lord is saying to me that, come to me if you're thirsty and I will give you water. These words are saying to me, seek the Lord while it may be found. He's thinking, I'm a eunuch. Nobody wants to know me, but yet God is saying, come to me. I'll give you what you want. And he would have thought, is God inviting me? And these words now slowly, lifeless words, have become full of life. And then, 56th chapter and the third verse, the eunuch would have thought in his mind, is a favorite passage, because he's a eunuch, he would have identified with it. It says, neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord God unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, even unto them I will give in my mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons than of sons and daughters. Wow. Wow. What a big statement. God said to the eunuch, I will give you a place in my house better than that of sons and daughters. How do you think the eunuch felt by now? Happy that he invited Philip up on the stage onto his chariot and saying, come tell me what this means because I don't understand. And then he's excited, but then Philip would have taken him to the text, which is the 56th verse of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. It says, and it starts with all, ends with all, saying, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned unto his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Again he's saying, the Lord has taken our iniquity and laid it on him. Because you can only punish a sin one time. Either we get the punishment or the Lord Jesus Christ get the punishment. Lord was punished in our place. That debt has been paid. Now after hearing all this, that even a eunuch like myself, God has said to me that I will give you a place in my house and a place higher than sons and daughters. He must be beside himself. He says, all this time I have had this book with me and I did not understand it. All this time I've been reading for so many years. I've been reading it as a book. All this time, I've had this book with me, but I did not understand that he forgives my sin. How do you think the eunuch must have felt at that time? To understand that we do nothing for our salvation. We have done nothing for our salvation. We cannot do anything. The Lord Jesus Christ died for my sin. The Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for my sin. I can do nothing. He has given to me, he has imparted to me his purity, his holiness, his forgiveness. I have got nothing. I've done nothing. It says that the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So after hearing all this, after reading all this, after hearing all this, after Philip explained all this to him, what do you think the eunuch would have done? He did exactly, without knowing, he did exactly what any Christian is obliged to do and instructed to do. In verse 35, and Philip opened his mouth, and the scriptures preached Jesus to him. And then he went along the way. He said, look, some water, the eunuch said. Look, water. What's stopping me from being baptized? How did he know? God the Holy Spirit would have told him the procedure now is to get baptized. And the eunuch, he said, look, there's water. What are we waiting for? I don't want to wait any longer. Because what you have just shown me, what you have just opened my eyes to, is so phenomenal, I can't even begin to imagine that I was reading all this and I did not understand. How many gems from the Bible have we read but not read, not understood, and we've let them go by? You know, the Bible is like us, is like the sea, the deep blue sea. If you're not a good swimmer, you stay by the shore. Only ankle deep water or waist, chest deep water, because you can't swim. But if you're a good swimmer and you go into the sea, the deeper you dive into the sea, the more beautiful things you see in underneath the water, the deeper you go. I think from recollection I was reading somewhere that the sea at the deepest part is about 7.5 to 8 miles deep. Nobody goes that deep. But if you do, some of the things that are there is unbelievable. That's God's creation. And the same God who made the sea and the stars and the sun is the same God who says to us, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you've got in your hands? We have got salvation. We have got eternity in our hands. We are blessed above all others because we have got the Bible to read. Many people, they don't have the Bible to read, or they have small portions of it. But we are blessed. But the test of a man's understanding his Bible is understanding the passage that you are reading. Our understanding is such that what we read is that it is for, Philip said to him and explained to him, he said that this is all you need to know, that the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered humiliation, he gave his life, and he shed his blood so that you and me can be saved. That is the gospel. There is no middle ground. Start, middle, finish of our life is all in his hands. And is all that we need to know is that the Savior is there to look after us and the Savior is there to take us to glory. It is not our, it's not by our efforts that we can attain anything. It is purely the grace of God that leads us home. When we give our hands into God's hand and he leads us, he takes us home. When the eunuch said to Philip, Here is water. What is stopping me from getting baptized? What did Philip say to him? Philip said in verse 37. And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Praise God. Simple revelation. He says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Then he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up from out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. Again, another miracle. How so? Philip said, "If you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you are saved." The eunuch said, "I believe." He'd been to Jerusalem. He didn't get the revelation there. Before that, he was the high official in Ethiopia. No revelation there. But you know something? When God wants to do a work, he will do it from one person. That person doesn't even know that it's him. If I may share with you something personal from my life, in my family, I was the first Christian. I was the first person to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ out of everybody, relatives, everybody. I was the first one. And I was scared. What will people say to me? I made the profession of faith. I was scared. What will people say to me? What will my brothers, my family say to me? Will they throw me out? They didn't throw me out. But you know something? As insignificant as I am, as worthless as I am, from me, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the word spread in my family, in my relatives, in my village, everywhere. Most of you know my father, Mr. Ramlal. You'll know that he shared the gospel everywhere. But God used me, a small, insignificant person, to repent. And then the Lord did a work amongst so many people in India and here where my father used to go, that people still remember him today after 20 years after he's gone to glory. And you know, this eunuch is a very interesting person, very interesting character, because do you know he was a nobleman? Nobleman in the sense of he was a high official. I would say maybe next to the queen, second in command or third in command to the queen. And people would have listened to him. Now for somebody to go back to the city, what he says here, that he went back and Philip saw him no more, but he went back rejoicing. Now if he went back rejoicing, what do you think the first thing he would have done? Think about it. He would have gone to the queen. "Hey queen, how you doing? I'm back." "Okay, what do you bring with you?" "I brought with me something that I didn't have before." "What's that?" "A joy inexpressible." "What is that?" "I've become a Christian." "You're a eunuch, yeah?" "Yeah, but I might be a eunuch to you, but you know something. Look, you know what God says here? God said, to the eunuch I will give him a place in my house, an honored place, better than sons and daughters." So, yes, I'm a eunuch, but you know something? God loves me. He's got a special place for me because I love him. And God says the same to you as well this evening. God says, first of all, he asks the question, do you understand what you're reading? Because if you don't understand what you're reading, don't stop. See, when parents will know this, when you go to your graduation for your son and daughter, or daughter, university graduation, and you're given the book, it's a book. But what's the one thing that you look in that book for? What's the one thing you look for in that book? Name. I never had that privilege of having a book, my name in the book, because I didn't go to university or school, whatever, right? But you know something? We look at the book, you know? All this is nothing. Kushniyaga, nothing. Ha! Tarampal Patla. Oh, wow. Then all the other names seem insignificant, because my name is, I've seen my name in there. Not that I have, but I'm just saying. But you know, this is the way that the eunuch saw this. That my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. As soon as he said those words from his mouth, his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's a Christian. He's a believer. And he would have gone back to Ethiopia and said, you know something? This news that I've just got now, this excitement that I've got now, right? I'm not just going to keep it to myself. No. I'm going to tell everybody. Who knows? Maybe he was the founder of the first church in Ethiopia. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Today, you who are sitting here thinking, I'm insignificant, I'm nothing, I'm just a very humble, small believer, I don't know much. Who knows? Maybe God will elevate you to such a position, but you will go somewhere and God will start a church through you. This is evangelism. God doesn't look at the stature. Look at David, King David. God didn't look at the stature. He didn't look at his build, anything. God saw his heart, and God sees your heart as well. Sometimes what we feel, what we see, is that people, they have the head knowledge. They have head knowledge, but that's all it is. There's a story told about this person who's called Bengal. He was a very, very, very influential person, very knowledgeable person. He was, you would say, the encyclopedia of knowledge in the world. And he was dying. He's the 18th century. And he was dying. And he sent for one of a theological student. He said, my spirit is very low. I don't feel too good. Say something to me. Tell me something. Give me words of comfort. And the student said, me? I'm nothing. I haven't even got a fraction of the knowledge of what you have. You're a very revered high man, a very intellectual man. What can I even say to you that will make any difference to you? You probably think, what can I say to that person? They're so intellectual, so big. What can I say to them? I don't even know what to say. What can I say to him? What can I say? I don't know what to say. He said, you are a student of theology. He said, say something good to a man who's dying. You're a theological person. Say something that is nice when I'm dying. And you know what that person did? He held his hand and he said to him, what can I say to you but that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin? Just these two words. He said, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it cleanses you from all sin. And the man said, give me your hand, son. He said, these are the words I wanted to hear. And then he passed away. Moral of the story is, when we open our mouth to somebody, when we tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, don't look at their stature, don't look at who they are or how big they are or whatever, right? Keep it simple, keep it sweet, keep it short. Because that simplicity works. To the eunuch, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Simple. We don't need to, like these other religions, we don't need to try to do this and that to be saved. No, well, they don't save. But Simple. If you believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you and he shed his blood for you, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he will take you, he forgives your sin and he takes you to heaven, that's all you need to do. But that for some people is such a big milestone, because whenever the gospel is preached, whenever the word of salvation, whenever the word of repentance is preached, you know what happens? Oh dear. What was that? What did he just say? Oh, sorry. I'll hear it next week. It's okay. Or we're reading and go. That's what happens. Why? It doesn't mean that just at that time you have to yawn. Or just at that time you're so full of sleep that you have to just close your eyes for 2 seconds. No. At that time, that's when the dark angels, that's when they're working, because they don't want the word of God to be sown into your heart. Because if that word is sown into your heart, if that word takes fruit, if that word grows, if that word springs up, what's going to happen? You're going to be saved. That's why the enemy doesn't want that. That's why you start yawning and you start, you don't know what's happening, right? But you know something? As soon as the meeting is over, 2 seconds afterwards, right, you're laughing and joking outside. What's happened then? 2 seconds afterwards, you're having a cup of tea or you're laughing and joking. That's no problem then. You don't feel sleepy then. When the gospel is there, if the eunuch would have fell asleep while Philip was preaching to him, what would have happened? He would have missed out on eternity. But it just so happened, he went back and he would have founded a church in Ethiopia. Hopefully. But when we do receive the gospel, when we do receive the word, when we do understand, see, the thing is, if we say we don't understand, if we have a little bit of, if you read the whole chapter, for example, if you read chapter 9, out of chapter 9, there are 43 verses. If you only understand 3 verses out of 43 verses, if you only understand 3, that's okay. Read it again, then you understand 4. Then 5, then 6. I'm not saying we don't understand. We're very intellectual people here. We're very intellectual. I'm not saying we don't understand. But sometimes the gems of the gospel are hidden from people because we don't have that perseverance to search for those gems. We read the easy bits and we skip over the hard bits. But it's the hard bits where we find. Why do you think in the genealogies, the names of the peoples that are there, why are those names in the Bible? There must be a reason. But we skip over those names. We skip over the genealogy. We skip over the data. We don't bother about it because, you know, it's boring. But God's word is far from boring. The one who has made us, the one who's made our mind, who's made our heart, he's the one who helps us to understand the gospel. He helps us to understand what we are reading. Because reading for the sake of reading is only reading. But reading by the power of the Holy Spirit, which those words become life to us, and we live those words, and people see us living those words daily on a daily basis, not just on a Sunday, but on a daily basis, okay? When we see those lives, when we see those words being lived, then we preach. Our preaching might be very simple. Brother Shigara, Brother Naranja, they go out on a Saturday to witness on Soho Road. I've never been, but maybe they have a long conversation with the people. But to this one person who the gospel is preached to, after the whole preaching, they said to him, "What have you understood? What have you understood?" He's a very simple man. And his answer was very simple. Christ die, me no die. Simple. Christ die, me no die. That's enough for him to understand that somebody died for him. For yourselves, for me, for everybody, Only Jesus. Only he died for us. And this Ethiopian eunuch, when we dwell upon the scripture, when we look at this, when we read this, we see that the word becomes alive when it is read under the light of God the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, words remain words. They say the word is more powerful than the sword. Have you heard that way of saying? The word is more powerful than the sword. A word can kill and a word can revive. The same word, according to the same word that we read in our Bible, by this word we shall be judged. Good or bad. On the day of reckoning, the same word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the word will judge us. And how we stand before God is our doing. So remember, whenever you open the Bible, whenever you read the Bible, ask yourself the question, do I understand what I'm reading? If not, don't worry. Keep on reading. Because slowly, slowly, those words will come to life and they will change your life forever. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.